Again, I apologize for being late.
We appreciate you being here.
I said I was going to go home and take a nap, and my boys kept running in and bothering me. There was no way to actually get any rest. And then I got in the car, and I thought that I had plenty of time. And then I looked down, and it was on empty. So, okay, that's the way it goes. I don't have a tie on. It's out in the car. I was late, and I thought about grabbing it. And I said, well, I'd probably tie it five times before it's the right length and be 10 minutes later. So I just forgot about it. But I thank God that he has brought us here together again. And thank God for the opportunity to be here with you once again. And we come here in this place and we gather ourselves together to praise the name of the Lord Jesus and him crucified. We would like to leave behind all worldly things. We would like to be able to just forget for a minute the troubles that are besetting us here in this world. But that's impossible to do, because as Brother Gary and Brother Ralph and some of the other brethren were talking about today, the world around us is just getting more and more wicked as time goes on. It is getting worse and worse. It's not getting better. Brother Gary talked today about the pendulum of usually it swings one way and then comes back the other, but it's not coming back. It's not the world's not going to get any better. The world itself is not going to get. It's not going to revert to the way that I remember it when I was young. It's not going to revert back to the way that you remember it when you were young, or that your parents or your grandparents or your great grandparents told you about when they were young, from what they remember of the way of the world. The world is going to get more and more wicked as time goes on. We see now around us, well, I believe, are signs of the end, the signs of the very end. The Apostle Paul said that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We see that all around us today. Amen. We see the signs of the end. We see the signs of the time before the flood, when the every imagination of the thoughts of the heart of men were only evil continually. Yeah. We see those signs today, and we know that it can't be long before the Lord comes again. But what we also understand is these things were prophesied from the beginning. Yes. And they were confirmed and affirmed by the Lord Jesus. They were affirmed by the apostles. They were affirmed by all of our brethren down through time. I want to I know I speak on this a lot, but I wanted to look at a little bit of the first chapter of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans. Brother Gary and Brother Ralph and a couple others upset me today, talking about all the bad stuff that was going on. And I went home, and as I was driving up here, I was thinking about it, and I said, well, you know what? We've got scripture for everything that's going on today. Everything we see around us. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote a letter to the Romans, he writes in the first chapter, in the 18th verse, he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
We can see it today. We can look out here on the world and see it today. We can see all the things that the Apostle Paul was talking about 2,000 years ago playing out in our world today. And so the problem for the child of God, the problem for the Christian, is that we are in the world, even though we are not of the world, we are in the world. The Apostle Paul commanded to withdraw yourself from fornicators, from evildoers, from backbiters, but he said, not totally from the evildoers in the world, because then you must needs come out of the world.
Right. That's what he said.
How can we live in this world and not be dragged down by all the evil and all of the maliciousness, all of the things that we see out here in the world? The problem for the child of God today is that the whole of society, the whole of creation, it seems, is trying to drag us further down, is trying to, as the Apostle Paul said, even though they knew God, even though the mysteries and the majesties of God were manifest in them, they didn't like to retain God in their minds and change the image of God like a man. I'll tell you that man today has exalted himself above everything that is called God. You know what? Daniel was talking about that. He said, when you see the abomination which maketh desolate stand in a holy place, then the end is near. I'll tell you that the Apostle Paul talked about this from the beginning of his ministry. He wrote to the churches about it. He wrote letters and epistles about it and warned us of it. The other apostles, the Lord Jesus himself, warned us that these days were going to come. The Apostle Paul, when he talked about the times, the hard times that the children of God had from the death of Jesus to when he wrote to the Hebrews, he said, he gave an account. He said, when he was given an account of all of the grace that God worked in his children, you know, the thing about grace is God gives grace when you need it. That's not in good times. That's in bad times. God gives you grace in good times, but He gives you the grace and you notice the grace in those bad times, because God gives you the grace when you need it. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the Hebrews, he said, and what more shall I say in the 11th chapter, the 32nd verse, and what more shall I say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David and also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the voice of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and all these things having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. The Apostle Paul, when he talked about this, people called that the Hall of Faith. You know, like a Hall of Fame, that's the Hall of Faith. When he shows the faith that God wrought in his children, and all of the wonders and the grace that God gave him, the strength that God gave him to overcome, the Apostle Paul set that forth to the Hebrews and to us to remind us that even though we see all of these things in the world that were prophesied from the beginning, yet God is greater than everything in the world. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
And so I, even though it bothers me, it worries me, the direction and the state that this country and the world is going in, we know it's going to go anyway, but greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, when the apostles were taken and they were put in prison, and they were brought before the Sanhedrin, and they said, they told them, they said, wait a minute, didn't we tell you not to preach this name, this man Jesus? We told you in the Acts of the Apostles, that saying, did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God more than men, rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. I will tell you, brothers and sisters, that there are many things in the world, and there always have been, but there seem to be more and more. You know, when the apostle talked about that the spirit of Antichrist had already come into the world, was already in the churches. These things, these problems that have beset the children of God have been present with us from the beginning. Even though they seem to be worse and worse now, they have been present from the beginning. And times for the children of God in this world are going to get worse and worse and harder, but we should obey God rather than men. You know, there were, when Daniel was told, over this period, you should not pray to any god, because the king has decreed it. What did Daniel do? You know, the Apostle Paul, told us, and we know this from the Lord Jesus Christ, when they brought him a penny and said, is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar? He said, let me see the tribute money. And he looked at it and he said, whose image and superscription is on this? And they said, well, it's Caesar's. And he said, render therefore to Caesar that is Caesar's, and to God that which is God's. The Apostle Paul would tell us, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, because there's no power but God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. And so we know and we understand that we are to follow the laws and the rules that are set before us and set over us, unless they contradict the very laws of God. Unless they contradict the very laws of God. And then the question that we should ask ourselves is, should we follow God rather than men? Or should we follow men and forsake God? I'll tell you that the patriarch, when he was bringing the children of Israel across the river, and he had circumcised them again, and he was about to bring them across the river, he gave them a challenge, and he said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. It could be the gods of your fathers whom they served over in Egypt, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I will tell you that greater is God that it dwells in His children than anything else out here in the world. And though we have laws that are set over us and rules that are set over us that contradict the very Word of God, yet the Word of God is true. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar.
Right.
But you know, I wanted to read that in your hearing, but I don't want to dwell on it, because there are so much better things. Things that we could talk about. So much better things than the misery and the wickedness here in the world. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, before he told them about the wickedness in the world, said this. He said, now, brethren, that I would have ye ignorant. I would not have ye ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written that the just shall live by faith. What I would like to talk about and to rejoice with you about tonight is exactly this, that, you know, there was a time, and I was joking a little bit today about how at one time in my life I had an excuse for every day of the week why I couldn't go to church. It was my back was hurting, my knee was hurting, I had to go to work. It didn't matter when it was, I had an excuse. And I will tell you that there's a time in my life. Now, there's a time in my life that, and it's a big chunk of my life, that I am ashamed of the way that I acted. I'm ashamed of the way that I behaved myself, but I was lost in sin. I was dead in trespasses and in sin, and I was acting out through my nature. But I will tell you that there is a time in my life when I had newly joined the church and I didn't know anything. We're called babes. We're called children because when we enter the church and for all our lives, no matter how old we get, we are still children in the sight of God. And there was a time in my life, and I am ashamed of it, but I'm not going to hide it from anybody. There was a time in my life when I had joined the church, when I was what I considered a faithful member, when God had moved, I felt that God had moved in me, that His Spirit had awoken in me a spiritual life, a newness of life that I had never seen before, yet I was still mired in the world. And I had a little Bible. It was about this big. I still got it. But it was about this big, and I had it, and it was laying on my desk at work. It was laying back. I didn't want anybody to see it. You know, I didn't want anybody to see it. I didn't know what they would think if they saw a Bible on my desk. And so I had it tucked away in some other books, and I would take it out, and I'd look around and make sure nobody could see me. And then I would open my Bible, and I would read a little bit, and then if somebody would come by, I'd turn my chair around and I'd read a little bit, and I would look over my shoulder because I was more concerned about what others thought of me than my duty to read and study to show myself approved. And one day, there were four or five fellas that we all took a break together every day, and I figured that I had a few minutes before they were going to come around to my desk, and so I said, well, I'll just slip my Bible out and read it. And I was sitting there reading, and here they come about 3 or 4 minutes early, and they stopped by my desk, and one of the fellas said, what in the world are you doing? And I didn't have an answer. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed that I was reading the Scriptures, and I cared more about what the world thought about me than my duty to God. But I can tell you now, I hope that I can say, like the Apostle Paul, that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation, that is, toward salvation to everyone that believes. I'll tell you that, you know, Brother Gary, and I often say it myself, this is not the living word that makes you that makes you alive, makes you vital. This is a lamp unto our feet. It's a guide for us out here in the world. But I will tell you, there are so many blessings in this book. I can't begin to count. It's like I mentioned today, it's like the queen when she came and saw the splendor of Solomon's court. She said, the half was not told me. I can't begin to tell you the wonder and the majesty that's contained in God's Word. And I hope that I can say, like the Apostle Paul, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I hope I can tell you that today, amen, that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We have been blessed. I've been blessed in heavenly places with all spiritual gifts in Christ Jesus. I can tell you that sitting there today, I was tired. When I got down to Bear's Run today, I was tired. And then those brethren started preaching, and I forgot all about that. I forgot all about being tired. I forgot all about my yard not being mowed for 2.5 weeks. I forgot all about, you know, the rain outside and how much I had to do, because the gospel of Christ is to us like a drink of cool water on a hot day. It's like a shelter in a desert land. We're told that we are to be refreshed and our minds are to be renewed by the gospel of Christ. And what I want to read is my favorite, one of my favorite passages. One of my favorite passages, it changes all the time, one of my favorite passages, it's usually my favorite passage is the one that I'm thinking about, or the one that is open to, or the one that we're talking about. Oh, that's my favorite. Gary, that's my favorite. It's just like the hymns. My favorite is probably the one that we either just sung or the one we're going to sing next.
Yeah.
And so, but I will tell you that one of my most favorite pieces of scripture is the one that's probably one of the ones that's probably most familiar to us. I talked today about, I feel a lot better today, right now, than I did this morning, because I've been struggling. I have been struggling a lot. And it's not just, you know, one thing seems to pile up on another, and I had to do all this traveling, and I got sick, and I was mean to people, and I was beating myself up because why in the world? You know you're not supposed to behave like that. And then everything keeps piling on top of the other thing. And I've been struggling. I've really been struggling, because when I look at myself and I look at the sort of person that I am, it's not the person that God would have me be. It's not the person that God would have me look like. We are told that to let our light so shine among men. We're told that we are His workmanship, and we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
Amen.
And I look at myself and I say, well, what do I say about the workman? If I'm His workmanship, what do I say about the workman? And I've been struggling. I've really, really been struggling. And when I struggle, I identify most with the Apostle Paul when he talks about himself in the 7th chapter of the letter to the Romans. He said, in the 7th verse of the 7th chapter, he says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in this flesh, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I will tell you that when I struggle, I identify most With this passage, out of every passage in the whole scripture, I identify most with this passage because I see in myself exactly what the Apostle Paul saw in himself. That is, I know the things that I am supposed to do. I know them. They are set down before me. They are written in my mind. They are put in my heart. God also, every time that I err, every time that I transgress His law and His will, He condemns me and judges me. I can feel it as soon as I do it. And so I look at this and I say, the Apostle Paul was describing me, the things that I would do, the things that I know, the things that are good, the things that are pure, the things that God has set down before me. Those are the things that are furthest from my mind. And the things that I know to avoid, the things that I know are bad for me, the things I know that I know reflect poorly not on me, but on the church and on the God that I say I serve. Those are the things that I find that I do time and time again. And I get like Paul and I say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But the answer is right there with the question. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of the sin. And he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I will tell you, brothers and sisters, that if there's anything that I could say to you, if there's anything that I could impart to you, if there's anything that I could leave you with that had any impression whatsoever, that made any difference whatsoever, it would be this, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them who follow Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Lord has taken all of our sins, not just the ones that we committed yesterday, not the ones that we committed today, but all of our sins that we will ever commit. And He has taken them upon Himself. He took them up to the cross and He left them there because when sin is finished, it brings forth death. And He finished sin. He finished the work. He finished all of the things the Father gave Him to do and died for us and rose again for our justification.
Yes.
And what should we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
We look out here on the world and we see all of this evil and all of this ungodliness.
Right.
We see all of the things out here in the world that we just abhor, that we detest, that fly in the face of God's Word, that fly in the face of His commandments, that fly in the face of everything that we have been taught and that we know by His Holy Spirit. But I will tell you, if God be for us, who can be against
Amen.
Us?
Amen.
I'll tell you that there is coming a day, brothers and sisters, just like the Apostle Paul here, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The condemnation is for those who walk after the flesh. That's us,
yes.
Sometimes.
Right.
A lot of times. Well, for me, it's a lot of times.
Yes.
There is condemnation walking after the flesh.
Right.
But if you're walking after the Spirit, if you are standing where God told you to stand, you know, all right, so fine. One of my other favorite passages in the Scripture. One of my other favorite passages of Scripture is in Exodus, where the Lord has covered over His children with the blood of the Passover, with the blood of the sacrifice. He has brought them out of Egypt. He's about to take them across the Red Sea, and all the hosts of Egypt are coming up behind them. They are hemmed in between the sea on one side and all the armies of Egypt on the other, and they're all running around. Oh, Moses, what did you do? Did you bring us out here to die? It feels like we are in that same situation, where on one side there is a great gulf, and on the other side, all the hosts of this world are arrayed against us. You know what the Lord commanded Moses to tell the children?
Yeah.
Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Right.
You know, I will tell you, brothers and sisters, that if we are standing where God tells us to stand, He will keep us standing there. You know, when the children of Israel were walking and wandering through the desert, what they were told is that there was going to be a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And wherever it stopped, you stopped. And when it got up and left, you better go with it. I'll tell you that that is our commandment in God. That is our commandment from the Lord, that where He is, there's where we should be.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter what anybody else says.
Right.
Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. If God tells us to stand on the principles that He has set here before us, it doesn't matter what the world will tell us. If God says that some things ought not to be, that finishes it.
Yes.
You know, I heard a fellow on the radio once, and he said there are two simple things you have to remember to be a Christian. Well, it's not true, but I thought it was kind of neat. He said there were two simple things that you got to remember in your walk as a Christian. Number one, there is a God. And number two, you're not Him. There is a God, and we are not that God. There is a God that leads us and guides us and directs us. And where He is, we should be there also. Where He is, we should stand right where the Lord has told us to. We should stand exactly where the Lord has told us to stand. And no matter what anyone says in this world, we should find ourselves there. I'll tell you that there's a safe place with the Lord. There is a safe place with the Lord. You can get cross with anybody out here. It doesn't matter. Because all they can do is destroy the body. But afterwards, they have no power over you. But there is a safe place with the Lord. That one of my other favorites, one of my other favorite passages is where the Lord asked Moses, what would you have of me? Because Moses had gone up into the mountain. And Moses, as the Lord says in the Scriptures, that Moses was a friend to God who saw God, as it were, face to face. Not that he saw God, but he communicated with Him directly. And God asked Moses, what would you have me do? What would you have of me? And Moses says, well, I want to see you. And God says, well, there's a problem there. You know, there's a problem there because we are as long as we live, and it is the sad condition of this old flesh, as long as we live, we will be in sin. This old flesh will be in sin as long as we live. In this flesh, that is, in my body, in this flesh, dwells no good thing.
Right.
And we will be in sin. We will be subject to sin for as long as this old body lives. And so in this state, we can't see God for what He is and who He is. We can't see His full glory. And so God said, well, there's a problem there, Moses. I can't show you my full glory, but let me put you in the cleft of this rock. And I will even shield your eyes from my glory. And then when I get almost out of the picture, then I'm going to take my hand away and you can see the merest bit of my glory. And the account said when Moses came down off the mountain, the children of Israel asked him, begged him to put a veil over his face because he was so shining with the reflected glory of God that they were afraid to look at him. There is a safe place with God, and it is exactly where He would have us stand. There is a safe place with God, and it is where He tells us to put our feet and not move. There is a place that God tells us to come out of the world and be a separate people, and that's where we should find ourselves. As this world gets more and more evil, we should find ourselves turning more and more to God. We are told to pray without ceasing. We should. I don't know about you. One of the things that that I don't do. There are many things that I don't do that I should. One of the things that I don't do as much as I ought is to pray. We're told that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We're told to take it to the Lord in prayer. We're told to lay our burdens on Him because He cares for us. As this world gets worse and worse, we should pray more and more. We should turn to God more and more often. We should turn to Him in our times of need. We should turn to Him all times. You know, there was a one of those little hymn books. It's not that one, but it was one like that we had up at Old Carroll. And there was a song in there, I've probably told you this before, there was a song in there that I couldn't stand. I couldn't stand that song, and Bill Stevens, he just about every time we met, he'd want to sing it. And I couldn't stand it. And the reason I couldn't stand it, I didn't want it to be true, but the words of the hymn were true. The words of the hymn said, "He's my all." It started out, said, "He's my all in all. He's my all in all. Every time I get in trouble, on Him I call." Well, that is true. Every time I get in trouble, I call on the Lord. But it shouldn't just be when I get in trouble. We should turn to the Lord in all situations, whether it is in joy or whether it is in grief, whether it is in pain or whether it is in times of plenty. We should find ourselves in prayer to the Lord whenever we... I'll tell you, it is a blessing. The scriptures say that we should set our mind on heaven and heavenly things. One of the apostles says, "Whatever thing is pure,
yeah,
whatever thing is beautiful, whatever thing is wonderful, think on these things." You know what? I probably told you this before. I can't keep too many things in mind at once. And the number of things I can keep in mind is sometimes two, but it's usually just one. That's it. That's all I can keep in mind. If my wife tells me, and like she did the other day, she told me she needed powdered sugar, cookie dough or cookie mix, and some eggs and some other eggs, and I had no idea what she meant, and something else, and something else besides that, and then she added something on right at the end, and I said, you're either going to have to text that to me or write it down or something, because I'm never going to remember it. I can remember one. I can remember the eggs. I forgot the other eggs, whatever they were. I just can't keep all that many things in my mind. And I will tell you that there is a blessing in turning to the Lord. There's a blessing for me because every time my mind gets beset by all of the bad things that are happening out here in the world, all the things that are pressing on me, all the things that I have to do, if I turn my mind to heaven and heavenly things, everything else seems to fade away. Everything else seems to recede to the back. If I set my mind on heaven and heavenly things, it seems like sin seems to just creep out to the edges. I will tell you that there is a blessing in turning to the Lord. There are many blessings in turning to the Lord. In these times of trouble, in these times of turmoil, we should find ourselves turning to the Lord more and more. Because after all, where else can I go? As that old hymn says, where else can I go but to the Lord? Look to the hills from whence cometh my help. You know, I will try to help you if you ask me to, but I'm pretty unreliable. If you ask me to help you with something, I'll say, well, sure. Brother Gary, he got on me pretty bad because I told him, I said, you know what, I'm going to come up to Happy Creek, whatever third weekend it was. And he said, all right, I'm expecting you there. Come on up. And I told him this, we were down at Little Flock. I told him, because it was the day after I was supposed to be up here, or the week after I was supposed to be up here. And he said, well, we were looking for you last Sunday. What happened to you? And I will tell you, I had good intentions, and I was in my recliner, and I looked up, and it was about 15:06, and it takes about an hour and 15 minutes to get here, and I said, well, okay, I told Gary I'd come, but it just totally slipped my mind. I'm unreliable. Everyone is to a greater or lesser degree. But I know one who has all power and who has all knowledge and who has never failed in anything. And we should turn to Him before we turn to anyone else. We should turn to the Lord. Sometimes the Lord is the last one we turn to. Sometimes we rely on our own strength and our own knowledge and our own understanding. And if I can't do it, let me call Brother Gary. And if Brother Gary doesn't know how, let me call up my dad. And if my dad doesn't know, I'll look it up on the internet. The first thing we should do is take it to the Lord.
Amen.
The very first thing we should do is take it to the Lord before we take it to anyone else. And there are times that, and there are things in our lives that we don't think we can take to anybody. I know there are things in our lives that I'm not going to speak for you, but I will speak for me. There are things in my lives that I am desperately ashamed of, that sometimes come over me. There are thoughts that run through my head, and I would give anything to get them out. I'm not going to tell my wife about them. I'm not going to tell the deacons at Robinson River about them. But there's one who already knows. There's one who knows everything that ever, like the little woman at the well said, come, let me show you a man who told me everything ever I did. There is one that knows everything that we have ever done. Amen. There is one that loves us with an everlasting love. There is one that is full of grace and mercy. And we should approach the throne of grace. We should approach the throne of mercy boldly. The Lord tells us, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to thee. Let us take everything to the Lord in prayer is my prayer for not only you, but for me especially, that we take everything to the Lord in prayer. As these times become darker and darker, cling to that rock, which is like a shadow in a weary land.
Amen.
He is our all in all. God bless.
Bless your hand. Good preaching. Bless you, my dear brother. Good. I'm going to have a hymn.
The name of the song, Cast Down the North of Florida.
That's Presentation.
Yep, that's it.
41.
I was amazed when I went over to Alma. They had a newspaper clipping up there of all the old pastors, all the former pastors. And they had a fellow that his name was John R. Daly. And I said, well, that's weird, because there's a fellow named John R. Daly that wrote some hymns in there.
Same one.